ones that are going to help tell your love story on the day of your wedding, right? So think of them as a production company for your big show, and your big show is your big day, okay? But underneath Disney Event Group is all these other bits and pieces that you need to know about. There's entertainment, there's floral and fine art photography, there's creative media, there's a sales team, they do it all. But the ones you want to focus on today is our fine folks from floral and design, and of course, fine art photography. My dear friend Elizabeth has gotten very sassy in the last 7 months, and she has been with the organization with the floral and fine art, floral and design for 6 years. 6 years. She has helped hundreds of couples plan their beautiful day and help tell their story. We have Amy, who has been in photography for 14 years, take all over here. She'll tell you all kinds of tidbits, all great tips that you need to know about. And then Mike at the end there has been with the Walt Disney Company since 1980. And he is, I was in utero in 1980. I just lied. But anyway, and he has been with Fine Art Photography since 1992. They are here to help you and give you the best tips for helping tell your story for your big day. So let's take it away. We'll start with Elizabeth first. Give it up for her, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh,
I like that.
Disney floral and gifts. We are more than just flowers. So just a little background on the Disney florist. We were started in 1971, a few months before the Magic Kingdom opened, and we started with a cast of three. So we have grown by leaps and bounds, and we now have a cast of 215. So most people, when I say I work at a florist, they think of bouquets and centerpieces, floral-related items. Well, we do much more than that. We can help with paper items such as these cute table signs, escort cards, menu cards. We can help with upgraded linens, chairs, charger plates. We can do upgraded flatware, stemware, and china. Anything to trick out your table. We can also help with hand-painted aisle runners like these two beautiful examples here. Both of these guests chose to do And They Lived Happily Ever After. I've done some really cute ones. I had one couple who put To Infinity and Beyond. I had someone else do All You Need Is Love. I had another couple that used the monogram that they put on their invitation. We put it on their runner, and they had a gobo created for their reception. So you kind of saw the same theme throughout the event. It kept reappearing. We also have fun accessories. We have a line of Pumpkin Coach accessories and Mickey accessories. So you can see the Pumpkin Coach guest book and ring bearer pillow, and then the Mickey toasting flute and flower girl basket. And we can also assist with Unity candles as well. We have a gifting business, which we have gifts that are geared towards anyone coming to the wedding. So if you have a family that's coming, you could send them a welcome bag with Mickey ears and autograph book. If your parents are maybe assisting with paying for the wedding, you could send them a little thank you. What's very common is to send the bride and groom a gift, maybe from the parents or the maid of honor or something. So we have a cute sample here with the champagne and the toasting flutes, the chocolates, and the rose petals. We have something geared towards everyone. We have a wide range of products that we can personalize for your special day. So, getting into the planning. Tip number two, do your homework. Before your planning session, you want to do a little research. You want to look for inspiration photos. You want to ideally pick out your wedding colors before you come to meet with us. It's just as beneficial to me if you can show me pictures of stuff that you hate as well as photos of stuff that you love. I can get just as much information from both options. And then you want to bring everything down, and then we're going to talk about everything. So I brought these two pictures of peony bouquets as an example. Peonies are extremely popular. Brides love them. If you were to get married today, they would not be available because they have a really limited season in the spring. So this is where I say do your homework, but then come to us because we can help you. So here are three examples of really similar bouquets. Well, not so much similar bouquets, but similar solutions. So we have the garden roses over here. We have the football moms in the middle. Both of those are good substitutes for peonies. They're both very full, big, multi-petaled flowers that you could use instead of the peonies if not available. Another option on the far side is to do silk. Now, I work at a florist. I don't work a lot with silk. I don't, you know, I'm a purist. I prefer fresh floral. When I go to the craft store and I see certain flowers, I know, oh, that's not what it normally grows in. I know what's grown in nature. Peonies are a little bit of an exception in my mind because most silks are so oversized they just don't look realistic anymore. However, peonies are so large and so full to begin with, the silk version is pretty appropriate for a substitute. Most people, when I show them that picture, they can't even tell that that's not a fresh floral. So those are just three solutions if you get into a jam that we can fix. And that's something we'll talk about at the planning session and work through. So you want to plan ahead to get the most out of your planning session. Tip number three. So we're going to talk about budgets. Here's just some examples of three different style candelabra centerpieces. They're obviously three different price points. So on the far left, you've got the candelabra. It still has the crystals, but we didn't do a floral arrangement. This is kind of your good option. The middle option is a better option if you want floral. It's got greenery in it to kind of fill it out. It's a little bit airier. Use more filler flowers. And then there's the best option on the right, where we removed the greenery. We did a tighter arrangement. That's going to be the higher price point because it has more floral. It's going to take a little longer to assemble. However, I'm showing you this to say, if you want candelabras, it is still an option. We just play with your budget to figure out what fits. Here's another example. So we have two hydrangea arrangements. The one on the left has two stems of hydrangea versus the one on the right, which has six. We use a smaller vase for the one on the left so that it looks still appropriate for the floral, but they both would still fill a table nicely. But you can see how using those flowers, you can bring the scale down, still have the impact, it's still beautiful, but it's on a much smaller scale. Here's just another example as well, with the gold centerpiece. We used the greenery to frame it and kind of fill it out, versus the one on the right, which we will remove the greenery and use a much larger arrangement. Okay, so this is my favorite budget tip. You can see they use the same arrangement at the ceremony and the reception. I am a big believer in recycling and using anything you can twice. You just get more bang for your buck that way. So here we use the arrangements. We set them right on the ground in the wedding pavilion. When we moved them to the reception, they added some other arrangements around the base of it. But again, they used it twice. Here's another example. They had the candelabras at the wedding pavilion, and then we took the floral, took it off of the tall 5-foot candelabras and put it on a smaller tabletop size appropriate candelabra. And yet another example, we had the clusters at the archway at Seabreeze Point. We pushed them together to make an arrangement for the sweetheart table with the reception. So if you have a large bridal party, another good way to save on your budget is to kind of scale down the bridesmaid's bouquet. It can add up really quickly if you have a lot of girlfriends that are bridesmaids. These two examples, the one on the left, we did a rose bouquet for the bride, and then we did just a much smaller bouquet for the bridesmaids. They're still beautiful. It still matches. It all looks really good, but it's not going to be a very high price point. Then on the right, we pulled four different flowers out of the bride's bouquet and used that to create each of the bridesmaids. So they were each unique and distinct, but by being so much smaller, it helped the budget. And these are just similar examples. So the one on the right, she had hydrangea roses and Gerber daisies, and the girls just carried posies of the Gerber daisies. So it all still had that uniform look that carried through, but made hers a little more plussed up. This one is another good example with the budget. Of doing a mix of high and low arrangements. You can tell they had a lot of tables. So if you did everything tall arrangement, it would add up pretty quickly. So to kind of break it up a little bit, we did a mix of the tall and the short. Here's another example as well. So it kind of averages out to a medium price centerpiece by doing the one with the high price point and then the lower price point. And here's another one. And the room looks beautiful, and they did a mix of the two different styles. But we did, we used the same flowers for both, so it had that to kind of unify it and carry through. Our floral designers can help you make smart adjustments to maximize your budget. And now I'm going to hand it over to Amy. Here you go.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Welcome.
I'm Amy. I'm one of the photographers here at Disney Fine Art Photography. And I'm going to continue with tip four, inspiration versus unique to you. Now, everybody in this room is different. I could take you and I could photograph you a million different ways, 10 different prizes. Everything is going to be different. You could be in the same pose, but you're going to be different. For example, you have a Pinterest board, which the majority of us do, yes?
Yeah.
We take things that we like and we pin them. But this is fantastic for us because we like seeing them. This gives us an idea of what your personality is. What are you interested in? What is your inspiration? And then we can take that and make it unique to you. For example, beautiful picture of the castle. It's one that's probably the most popular that we get right now. Now, there are many factors that go into this photo. What time of day is it? What month is it? Is it February or is it July? What, you know, what's the weather like? Are there clouds? Are there a ton of clouds? Is it overcast? So no matter how many times I photograph this, it's always going to be different. And all of the examples that we'll show you, all the light is coming in at different directions. Like I said, it could be in February, it could be in July, it just depends. But we're going to take this picture and we're going to make it unique to you. Again, the light is coming in from a different direction. So, same thing. Different bride, same thing, but always a little bit different. Because you're not the same as somebody else. So every wedding and every photo is unique, just like you. So we don't want to recreate something, we want to make it unique for you.
Okay, I'm Mike, one of the, you, of course you know that by now. Tip five, what is your style? What does that mean? Is it pictorial? Is it photojournalistic? Is it traditional, portrait, contemporary? I recently read a survey, in fact, just in the last couple of days. The majority of couples, 30% is the number, don't know what any of these things mean. In fact, my bride yesterday, we were talking about this, she said it, when she was asked, do you like, are you more photojournalistic, are you this? You have, I have no idea what that means. So let's break that down. We'll take a minute here and we'll go through some of these. This is what we would call a pictorial image. Or you might call it a detail shot. And detail shots can be large, it can be small, it can be your venue. I have a great friend, a photographer in California. She did a survey among her brides, and she found, because these are the bride's shoes, obviously, and we think your shoes are important. Okay, ladies, how many think your shoes are important? All those hands better be up. Her survey showed her that her brides took an average of 6 weeks to pick their shoes and spend about $250. So, to me, that shows those are important. And in this situation, this was a gift, very sentimental to the bride and groom. Very important for them to have this. These are, as well as being pictorial, what we would call pictorial, they're also transitional pieces for your album. They help tell the complete story. And at the end, you want your album to be a story of your day. You want it to reflect everything that happened. Photojournalistic sometimes can be one of the most misunderstood concepts in wedding photography. Photojournalism is a moment that happens. It's beautiful, it has emotion, it's kind of raw. And one thing that doesn't happen is you don't clean up the sofa, you know. Okay? Now, that's happening. A photojournalistic moment. A moment like this is a moment that happens. It's got all the emotion, it's telling the story. If you take time to perfect the moment, then you've lost the moment. It doesn't exist anymore. You can reposed this, restaged it, but the emotion of that moment, of them helping her put on her veil, is gone. Now it's a staged photograph. Also, photojournalism. This is a great picture, black and white, and a lot of times, traditionally, you'll think of black and white as being photojournalistic. One of the things, there's a few things I really like about this photograph. Dad, he's smiling. He's out of focus, but you can tell he's happy. He's smiling. Personally, I think he's crying. The bride, all the emotion on her face. She is moments away from being the missus. Look at the expression in her eyes, her smile. And one of the things I really like about this photograph, I took it. But beyond that, I think it's a great photojournalistic moment. It tells a story in one single frame if you look at the different elements. Now, this is a traditional photograph. These photographs have existed since the beginning of wedding photography. For the last 50 years, till now, I see it going on because it is a timeless photograph. It is part of your day. So, some people go, well, maybe I didn't know what traditional was. This is a traditional photograph. It shows him, but I still think this guy over here, he's kind of casual. He's not taking this too seriously. Also, too, traditional. When we think of a traditional photo, bride and groom in a standard pose looking at the camera, but this also has big elements of their day. The coach, the wedding pavilion, the blue sky. Again, a story in a single frame. I'm sorry?
And you took it.
And I have another portrait of the bride. One of the things when I look at photographs, when I think of portraits, are they going to hang on the wall? That determines a number of things. Are they going to hang on the wall? Are they going to be in a photo frame? Or are they going to be in the album? That's things to think about. This is a portrait. It's a beautiful bride looking and smiling and obviously loving her day. This is a portrait, but with a little few added details to it. For me, this also tells a story because you have this beautiful expression, eyes, smile, but you also have the details of her day. The necklace, the engagement ring, the bracelet, her flowers. You have it all in one photograph. So as Disney Fine Carter, we want to, like the mother of the bride said, tell a story. Sometimes you tell a story in one frame, sometimes you tell it three or four, and certainly over the course of a wedding album. This is more of a contemporary portrait. Not looking at the camera, but a little backstory on this. The bride is a veterinarian. And her father was so proud of that. Her specialty is large animal husbandry, specifically horses. So, important picture for her? I think so. Does she love it? You betcha. But is it a traditional portrait? No, it's contemporary. It's got a contemporary feel to it. This is a contemporary portrait. It shows where they were. Yeah. And it tells a little story in itself. There's a couple of things I really, really like about this. So they're here at Gaston's. It's a nice, warm fireplace. So everything has this warm quality to it. But I love the intimacy between the bride and groom. Will that hang on a wall? Absolutely. Big, big print. I love it. And I did not pick that. just so you know. So let's go back. I want you to notice one thing. All the pictures we just showed to you was from one single wedding. Disney Fine Art Photography. We're going to bring all those styles we just talked about to your wedding day. So we have the pictorial or the transitional detail shot, like we talked about. The photojournalism, my favorite picture. Just saying. Traditional, but all photographs with impact. Portraits, portrait and detail, again. Contemporary portraiture, all over the course of a day, to tell the story of the day. Now, this isn't the Magic Kingdom, and that's a separate. One thing I want you to take away from this, Disney pioneer photographers are experienced in photographing a variety of styles, like we just talked about. We're going to bring all of that to your wedding day. It's your story, and we want to help you tell that. Okay? We're going to photograph all the styles that are appropriate for each part of your wedding, not just any one.
I'm gonna go back for just a second. When you notice on all of those portraits, it is a flow of your day. So it's not just, that's why we showed one wedding. So it's not just here, here, here. We're going from start to finish. So we're using all of these styles within one day of your entire wedding. So we're going from start all the way to the end of your reception, and even into the portrait sessions afterwards. I'm going to make one note on the traditional stuff. Everybody's like, I'm not a big traditional thing. It's a generational thing. Like you said, from the beginning of time to now, those pictures have never lost their value. Your grandparents want that of your parents want that of you, you're going to want that of your kids. It's that nice mantelpiece picture. So there's always got to be a little place in there to make the parents happy, which is always important. So, moving on to tip 6, unplugging your wedding. What does that mean? How many people have one of these? Raise your hand. You know you have one. How many people like to take photos?
She doesn't mean an iPhone. She means just a smartphone.
Yeah. How many people like to? Yeah. How many people like to take photos on these? Yeah. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, the crown.
Oh, there you go. Oh. Perfect, okay. Now that we got that out of the way, we'll see later. Okay, so unplugging your wedding. So we all love to take photos, right? Everyone has a smartphone. Every 2 minutes, we take more pictures than all of humanity in the 19th century. That's a lot of pictures. Think about it. How many selfies do you take today? A ton, right? Yeah. We take a ton of pictures. So we as photographers are going to ask you to unplug your wedding. Let your guests relax. Sit down. Tuck your phone on your butt. Sit on it. Do something. Just don't take any pictures. But we're going to take that a step further. So I'm not asking you to unplug your wedding. We're actually asking you to unplug your ceremony, which is very, very important. When you are, when you're in your ceremony and so many people are taking pictures, you're losing a moment. You're so busy staring at the back of your camera or phone that you're missing everything that's going on. So just don't be afraid to ask your guests to just go ahead and throw away your phone. Enjoy the moment with us so you won't miss anything. For example, we're all laughing. But this is the reality. Everybody wants to capture their moments, but that's why you've hired us. You've hired us to come in and capture these moments for you. For example, you have all these cameras, phones, but look at this poor guy. He's like, I can't see. Like, he wants to see that moment of, the dad giving the bride away, but he has to strain himself to get out there to see it. So this is one of the examples that we're asking you to just go ahead and tell your guests it's okay. Just put it away for just a second. Now, to help with this, Elizabeth, our fantastic floralist, has said that she can do paper products. So, on your program, thank you, I'm losing the word, just a little excerpt at the bottom to say, please enjoy the moment with us. Go ahead and stow your phone. Let the photographers go ahead and take those. She can also create a sign that sits right outside your ceremony that says, the exact same thing. Just go ahead and, stow your phone, relax, enjoy the moments with us. We have a little video that kind of shows what we go through. So that's just a little example, but if you notice, most of those pictures weren't taken here at Disney World. So it's not just a problem that we occur here, it's an industry norm. This is what happens. So I hear the giggles, but you know, this is the only reason why we're bringing this up is because we want you guys to not be distracted as well. We're going to end on this one. Now, where am I? I'm down here. Who's in front of me? These lovely ladies. Now, when I get that picture back, my picture is going to be of this guy. That's it. I'm not going to be able to see the ladies because of where the other two ladies are standing. So this is why, you know, this is one of the reasons why, you know, we bring up to let your guests enjoy. You know, let us capture that. Now, that being said, reception, let them go. Let them go. Because they can also capture their moments, and they will do silly, crazy things that they will not do for us. And those are the pictures that you're going to want. You know, we're going to capture everything else for you, but I could ask them, be like, hey, do something crazy, and they're going to be like, you know, because they don't know me. But if somebody else asks them to do it on their phone, absolutely. They're fair game. They're like, let's do this. So, but if you notice, you have all your of your guests, our photographers right here. Now, the tides have turned. Your guests are now behind us, so we can capture a clear shot of the moments that are happening. Okay? So we're not asking you to unplug your entire wedding. We're just asking you to unplug your ceremony. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Let our professionals document your ceremony so that your guests can focus on the experiences.
Okay. All right, just to go along with this, a couple of things. When you watched the video, you saw one of the images where the bride and groom, just a couple of things. The bride and groom were completely white. You couldn't even see them because somebody had taken a photograph at the exact same moment the photographer did. And we talked a little bit ago about the moment. Well, you can restage them coming in, but the emotion of that moment is gone. And in their mind, they will always know that that was a recreated moment. Another thing, everybody's got their tablet, they have their iPhone, their Android phone, they're Facebooking, they're tweeting, they're everything. A really nice moment is a first touch for the bride and groom. They don't see each other, but they reach around the corner, they join hands. It's a very emotional time for them. In fact, just yesterday was a very emotional time. In the background, I see the brothers of the bride and everybody. They're over there taking their pictures with their phones. Can't tell you how many times this moment has happened. And then the groom goes over to the wedding pavilion because he's got time to relax if he's able. And what do we do? If you've got 30 seconds, you're going on Facebook to see what your friends are doing, who just posted an image of that first touch. That's a heartbreak. So, as an artist, as a father of the daughter who got married, please tell them to sit back. Let us capture that, and let the bride and groom experience first before anybody else. Okay. Anyway, that's an important thing. Tip 7, raw color corrections and enhancements. Again, what does that all mean? Now, we've been with you for the whole day. We've been from your getting ready photographs, through the ceremony, post-ceremony, reception, we've captured all these amazing images. We are going to back them up. We're going to put them on DVDs, on hard drives, on servers, on everything. They are somewhere. We're also going to do color correction and enhancement. Let's talk about what the difference is. Color correction, when you see a photograph, you want to see it like your mind's eye sees it. If you take a photograph outside, beautiful, right? Kind of one-dimensional, but beautiful. In natural light, it's got one. It's all the colors, literally all the colors of the rainbow. It's natural, and it looks natural to your eye. When you take that same kind of photograph inside, and let's say there's a light bulb, now you've introduced a different type of light, and it's got a very orange or amber warm quality to it. Place and time for that, like the photograph of the bride and groom that we showed you earlier. But what it does is it will add an orange cast to the dress. And then, say it's a fluorescent light. Fluorescent light is going to add a greenish cast. Digital cameras are great. They can do amazing things. But what they have a real problem with sometimes, especially, is mixed light sources. So you have a light bulb, you know, that's orange, you have a fluorescent bulb that's green, and a digital camera's going, what do I do? Here, I'll just take this and you work it out later. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to work it out later. We're going to color correct everything. We want to make sure that every image you receive is color corrected so that it looks to your eye normal. You want to make sure that your skin tones look normal, and that your dress is white. The only time your dress is not going to be white is if it's not. If it's not, we'll let it be that color. So here's an example. This is what we call a raw image. This is right out of the camera. This is how the digital camera saw this image. Now, if you had been there and you saw the picture, you would probably be seeing this in your mind's eye. This is the color-corrected image. You notice what we've done is we've made sure that her dress is white, and it was white. The color is better on the flowers. The skin tones are normal and pleasing. Took care of all that. Now, as an artist, we're going to take a select number of images, take it a step further. This is what we would call an enhanced image. Just to point out some things, the eyes sparkle, the skin is smooth, the skin has this glow about it. And that's your wedding day. And that's the day you want to look your most beautiful. That's the day to shine. So, again, just to reiterate something, every image you receive from us is going to be color corrected. We're going to take a select number, we're going to enhance them, take them to the next step. Any portrait that will go on your album or hang on your wall, even if it's not one that was selected by the photographer and enhanced, we're going to take it there. We want to make sure that if it hangs in the finest homes in America, that that's what it looks like. And we're going to give you a real life example here right now. This is a good time for this. This is a Disney Fine Art Photography portrait. You recognize her? Just so you can see, because sometimes you can't tell on the screen. The color of her eyes, they sparkle, they shine, the skin is beautiful. Also, to pull it, they're going to come to you mounted. They are going to be ready to go in a frame and hang on your wall. When they come to you, they're going to be in a box, protected, so that when you open them up, they are ready to go. Now, if you have the images on a disc in a copyright release, and you take it to your local retailer. First of all, this is probably how it comes. That's going to be the color corrected image. So there's color corrected, and then hands. So, let's look at another one. My loveliest thing. This is a Magic Kingdom shot. Right out of the camera again, a raw image, what we call it. It looks okay. But in the color correction stage, you'll notice that the sky is bluer, the colors are richer, and it's got that early morning kind of glow to it. Then, for the third step. Now, just a couple of things. This can be on your phone, it can be on your tablet, it can be anything. But if it's going to hang on your wall, as artists, we're going to take this somewhere else. We're going to do everything I talked about previously, the skin, sparkling of the eyes, everything. But there are some things about this photograph that we go, that has to go away. Like that real annoying little restroom sign, it's gone. Over here, there's a phone, it's gone. We added a little more warmth, more texture overall to it, so it's richer. It's more like if you were there, in your mind, that's what you want to see. But your mind can't take those out. We have to do that. Also, too, enhancements are black and white, sepia, or a vintage feel. These are just examples of that. This, again, made a great vintage photo because of the style of her dress, her tiara, her jewelry. Again, I really love this photo. I took it. Sepia and black and white. All in hand. In fact, if you look at her eyes, even in black and white, they sparkle. So, one thing I would like you to take away from this, our fine art photographers will give each of your photos the treatment they need for excellence at any point of your wedding, okay? We want to create, we're Disney fine art photography. And as photographers and artists, we really want to own that. We want the portraits you hang on your wall and the portraits that go in your album. Besides the album telling a whole story, we want your portraits to be art. We want it to be fine art. So we want them to be multi-generational. We want them to last forever. And Q&A time. Okay, that's just not true. Chill out.
So we collect some questions ahead of time on the Disney Wedding Twitter page. And so if you have any questions that you want to ask, the first couple are, I love Frozen. How can I incorporate that theme into my wedding? And I know it doesn't snow in Florida, but how do I create a Winter Wonderland reception? So if you've already been in the showcase room, you've seen our Frozen table that Heather sitting in the back designed, which is beautiful. So there are some great examples there with the sparkly linen and the little snowflake chocolates and just things like that. But here are a couple of other examples. So here we have the frosted branches, we did the white linens, and the acrylic shibari chair. They also used pipe and drape in the room to make it very white and winter wonderland. This is a really cool twinkle dance floor that just looks very frozen. And then they also used the snowflake gobos on the wall, and I also found out earlier today, we do a confetti cannon burst that you can do at the end of the reception. They actually have snowflake-shaped confetti now. Yeah. What was that, Lisa? And we can make it snow. I'm learning new stuff, too. but anyhow, so there's great ways that you can enhance the reception to give it that Frozen theme that are really, really simple. Oh, and I'm going to hand it to photography now.
Okay. What is the best time for portrait sessions? That's a really good question. I'm glad to ask. Whenever you watch TV shows or movies or anything, they have people who are portraying photographers and they're talking about portrait sessions and everything. You always hear them talk about the magic hour or the golden light. Typically, that's going to be early in the morning, late in the afternoon, and early evening. That is when the light is softest and has this nice little ethereal quality about it. It's got its own glow. It's very special. So this is an example of that. This is a bridal portrait of Victoria Gardens over at Epcot. Early morning, you can see the direction of the sun, but even though the sun is behind them, you can still see the warmth
and the softness of the light is on their face. So, portrait sessions, best absolute bedtime, speaking at Chicago,
early morning, late afternoon, early evening. When are the best time for portraits? Yeah, good. Thank you.
Brian's ready.
What prompts are available for DED portrait sessions will be answered by Ian.
We at Disney Bright Arts Photography, we have access to three, but there are four different kinds of props that you can use to add a little Disney touch to any of your portrait sessions. We have the Love, the little Mickey head. We also have available an and sign, you and me, that also incorporates the Mickey. Mr. and Mrs., something a little different. As well as balloons. Now, when it comes to the balloons, Elizabeth, your gal, through the Disney florist, you can actually order the balloons and they will be delivered to your portrait session that we can use as props now we're out there. Now, speaking of props, a minimal amount is always better. You want your experience to be just that. You want it to be an experience. And the more props you bring, the less of that experience you get. Especially at the Magic Kingdom, we have a small time frame. And the more time we spend using those props and trying to set them up and get them ready, we're losing out on other locations as well as your whole experience in the Magic Kingdom. Now, that being said, you are more than welcome to bring anything you want with you. We ask that you keep it to a minimum. We don't want to bring a truck. Because we're also going to be carrying through the parks. So the more stuff you have, the more stuff we have to carry. And we can get a little bit slow. And then you lose out on a bunch of stuff that you probably wanted to get to. So just keep that in mind when you're considering props that you do want to use. Oh, sweet. Yeah. I want a touch of Mickey in my bouquet. How do I do that? I'm sure most of you have seen these, but we have these beautiful Mickey crystals, which we can incorporate in your bouquet into the flowers, or we can use as an accent like we did here on the handle. Another really cute thing that I've done is like the photo on the left, where we use two different types of flowers to do a Mickey head. So we had the pink roses, and then we used two different sizes of Gerber daisies to make a Mickey head on the bouquet. If you don't want this in your bouquet, we could always do it the centerpiece, and you can kind of just tuck it in, so it's kind of hidden, so your guests, depending on where they're sitting at the table, might see it, might not, so it's a little more subtle.
The flowers are too, just so you know, that's a hidden Mickey in itself, Elizabeth, I'm just saying.
You're right. We can also add them to boutonnieres, or if you didn't want to do Mickey, you could do something else, like the Great Soda Pin, which is sentimental to me. I gave my dad a Great Soda Pin when I got married too. So he had a boutonniere on one side and a Great Soda Pin on the other side. Or you could pick like a different character. We've done Star Wars and things like that. So lots of options. Okay.
I want to take photos in all four parks.
Is this possible? Absolutely.
So, if you're going to do photos, if you want to do photos in all four parks or two parks in a day, the qualification is one of the parks has to be Epcot. Because of the operational hours of the parks, you can do Magic Kingdom in Epcot, Hollywood Studios in Epcot, but Epcot is the second park. Right? Good.
That's me. Just a couple of examples. So, Magic Kingdom. The front is lovely, but the back is just as beautiful. There is a ton of things that we can do in the back of the park showing that side of the castle as well. Again, Epcot, the UK Pavilion, also incorporating those props that you can't bring to Disney Florida. That you can get from the Disney Florida. Hollywood Studios, right there on Sunset Boulevard.
Also a good example of that. Early morning hour.
That magic hour that we were talking about, the soft light that comes in. And last, Animal Kingdom. So each of the four parks has its own charm. You just need to figure out what is that charm and what are you guys looking for? Some people have a theme to their wedding that fits more with Hollywood Studios. or, you know, some people really want Animal Kingdom because of the texture and the structure and the different aspects of that park. So you just have to kind of think about what are you guys looking for. Again, if you want all four parks, different ways to incorporate that is engagement sessions. We can do an engagement session, let's say, at Animal Kingdom, but your wedding is at Epcot. So I've already covered two, but you want, you know, the Magic Kingdom portrait session. So the more things that you can do, you can actually have aspects of all four parks within the course of your wedding from your engagement to the end.
And you can put your mother-in-law in front of the villain's shop.
You
don't even tell her she's in front of the villain's door. And you pose her beautifully, and then she finds out later she tried to live with it. I'm speaking with my own. I'm just saying, my mother-in-law would be in front of that villain's shop. She drives me crazy. Anyway, I'm saying things out of myself. I'm sure you're a delightful mother. No, I'm not.
All right, so we have a little bit of extra time, so we're going to open it up to questions.
Okay, don't be shy.
No, right in front. One there. All right, we'll go here and then we'll go there. Go ahead. We could do them kind of anchored to the ground, though, and do clusters all around the room. Is that what you mean? You mean the hanging lantern?
No, like the big balloons.
It'd be a little tricky with the chandelier.
Yeah,
it would be a little tricky with the chandelier. But we could work something. Like I was saying, we could kind of pull it to the side. We do hanging lanterns, and they can do Mickey heads using three of the lanterns, so that's kind of cool. So that might be a solution. Yep.
Question over here.
Yes.
Hi. How does the park handle different weather, like if it's raining?
If it's the day of your wedding, the wedding goes on. We're gonna indoor locations. So if we're here at the Grand, you know, if for some reason it's raining, we're not able to get outside, we'll utilize the locations inside as well. For a portrait session, there's different options.
And one thing to remember too, and I'll just throw this out here, is that, where are you from? Okay, this is Florida. It can be pouring rain right here. It can be bright and sunny 100 yards away.
This is true.
So it just...
On there, it just depends. There's several different options that, you know, we can, when that occasion occurs, then we...
If it's a Magic Kingdom session, we would call you early in the morning, a couple of reasons, to make sure you're awake. I've had that happen.
It happens. We wake up with you every night.
And to find out, it's raining over here, is it raining where you are? And then there's still something...
And not so much the photo session, even though I'm the florist, so I'm going to half answer this. But I've seen them do some really beautiful shots in the rain. So I know everyone fears the weather, especially in Florida, because it rains, you know. For a couple months, it rains almost every day. But they can take some gorgeous shots and incorporate the weather and umbrellas and cute stuff.
So there won't be an umbrella in heaven.
Oh, no. We'll Photoshop it out. No, I'm just kidding. That's the enhancement.
And you'll always be given the opportunity to, you know, if you're going to be on the property enough time, we could push it back a day.
Yeah, there's always an option to read.
There's options available.
Thank you.
One question.
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, I know that you did a lot of courses in the early right now, especially with Magic Kingdom and stuff like that. However, does that ruin that first moment that you see each other down the aisle, or is it like the day after?
Good question. Usually, over 90% of the time, it's a couple of days after the wedding. Because, a couple of reasons. We have had people who want to do the bridal portrait on the day of the wedding, My recommendation would be not, because it's your wedding day and the Magic Kingdom is beautiful, but you're going to be walking in damp grass and your wedding dress will take the hit. A couple of days later, you've got time to decompress and relax, say goodbye to your guests, and start fresh.
Is there a chance that like the wedding dress might be ruined during the reception or anything like that? And you have an issue with that?
Can I be perfectly honest? I've never had that.
What do you want me to do
with your
reception?
Yeah.
I think on close inspection, I mean, I'm sure there's walk around in anything for 8 hours. There's going to be some dirt on it, but they're not.
Most
not going to ruin it.
Most of the dirt and things you'll see on a wedding dress happens underneath.
Yeah.
Where it's been.
That sounds weird.
I mean,
yeah, we're going to be here. Okay, let's break that.
All right,
do we have another question here? Yes.
Do you guys do, I haven't seen online a while, but Trash the Grinch, the water park?
Oh, you bet.
Yes.
Like, what
are kind of awesome.
If it's 30 degrees, I'd recommend not doing it.
There's certain moments when the water park is closed, but
it's not open.
The water park is open.
Yeah.
Go for it. And you know what? And I'm gonna throw this out. A lot of times people go, I don't want to do that. It's gonna ruin my dress.
Chlorinated water.
Chlorinated water. If that dress got dirty,
there's dirt underneath.
It's probably not gonna be dirty when you get out of that pool. But it's awesome, yeah. I've done Trash the Dress with Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon. They're just great fun. It's a whole different experience.
It's always subject to change. Right now we don't have a schedule out. About the Magic Kingdom is still staying.
Especially after the first of the year.
Yes.
Magic Kingdom has given us the availability this time. We're waiting on that info. And once we get it. Yes.
There's a way.
But like Amy showed you earlier, there is great stuff in the back of the castle. Don't necessarily have to have the front. There's a lot we can do from the back courtyard. There's Tangled, there's Beast Castle, the Mermaid, there's all of the back part of fence.
Yeah, that's like a little hidden gem
kind of on the tower.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. More questions? Now's
the time to add in. Oh, we have one right
here. Go for it.
I know y'all were talking about weather and mentioned like umbrellas and such.
Uh-huh.
I've seen pictures with the parasols.
Uh-huh.
Is that all riding are provided, or is any of the umbrellas or anything provided?
Majority of the, like, the only ones that we have access to are like the Disney Paris Hotel umbrella, the black ones that have the logo on it. But any parasols, unique umbrellas, everything that's all
the bride provided.
Yeah. We have one behind you.
Go ahead.
Sorry, out there, I think for the florist and everything, all the flowers are gorgeous, but is there anything that you offer that someone wasn't confused flowers?
Yes.
I mean, flowers are a big stamp. Like, I mean, there was crystals on some of this location, they were gorgeous.
Yes.
Is there options like this?
I've done a feather bouquet, I've done brooches, I've done, you know, the little Mickey crystals. I did an entire bouquet of like individually wired Mickey crystals. There's all sorts of options. And then especially with centerpieces, you can do branches, tree. I mean, it does not have to be flowers. You could do fruit. You could do something else, props or something like that. Yep. Oh, over there.
So if you're wanting to take some photographs at night, because I've seen a couple with where the castle's illuminated and Magic Kingdom and everything, do you stay after the park closes, or is there ways to?
At this time, our photo sessions have changed to Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an operational park, they kind of set the times that we need to be there. So the times that we're going right now, it's all daytime. So the stuff that you'll see at night, unfortunately, right now is no longer available.
Those are taken several years ago.
Yes, on the front row, go ahead.
Since all the photos are already enhanced,
when we get our photos back at the
Maybe clarify one thing for you. All the photos you receive will be color corrected. The select number will be enhanced. The ones that, as the artist, they're gonna speak to us. We're gonna go. A lot of times, like the three samples I showed you of the woman, when the picture was taken on the far left, in my mind, it was the one on the far right that I had already seen. That I knew that's where that needed to go. So, but again, that being said, all your images will be color corrected. But if you select an image for a portrait that was not did not receive that additional enhancement, we will do that.
We can do that.
Okay?
Any more questions?